This is Doug Miller. Four horns. What do they stand for, and what could they possibly mean? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back one more time with the Word of God in hand and to be able to speak into this microphone and send His Word out. A great privilege, and I might add, a great responsibility. So please, 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 pray for Dialogue. Pray that God will give clarity to the thinking that we do, and to the praying that we do, and to the things that we do to prepare this Word to send it out. Pray that we will not confuse, but that we will enlighten. We are in a book, the book of Zechariah, and we are still in chapter 1, and we have been in chapter 1 for, well, several weeks now. This is about the fifth week. We have gotten down through verse 14, or into verse 14. This is, like so many of the apocalyptic-type books, somewhat difficult to understand, and yet a tremendous blessing. Zechariah begins his prophecy way back with the in Babylon, with the return of Israel, or the remnant of the Jews, rather, out of Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. That's what he is talking about initially. But his vision goes far, far off into the future, as we will see. He goes and looks down across the years to the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. A kingdom which will surely and certainly be established. It will be established literally and physically in the land of Israel, with a literal, physical Messiah seated on the throne of David and ruling from Jerusalem. That has not happened yet, but it is coming, and I am persuaded, coming in the very near future. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Zechariah 1, and call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word go out. We would love to hear from you. Write us a letter. Tell us where you are. Ask us any questions that you wish to ask, or just say something encouraging, or say something discouraging. Whatever does it for you. There's no doubt that many of you disagree with my point of view. I'm always happy to listen. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, you may do that. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, well, you can pull that up too, or down, or whatever. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? DialogueMinistries.org. Finally, if you wish to call, I'd be happy to talk to any of you out there. The telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. Now, let's get into Zechariah. With the deportation into Babylon, way back there, almost 600 B.C., not quite that far back, but close to it, with the deportation, about 590, really, you have the beginning of what is called the time or times of the Gentiles. What do we mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is that at that time and since that time, up till 1948, there was no nation of Israel living in the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land was taken over, of course, by Nebuchadnezzar. And then he fell before the Medo-Persians. And they then, of course, fell before the, I'm drawing a blank on this myself. Probably need to take another look at it here. The Medo-Persians, and then they fell to the Macedonians of Greece, and finally to the Romans. Mercy sakes. Where do I get these mental glitches? I'm sure you'll forgive me. That's why you need to pray for me right there. Nevertheless, it didn't just stop there. The Romans were the ones that dispersed, finally, Israel out to the ends of the earth. And for many, many, many years, Gentile powers of one sort or another ruled over that area. The Arabians came in under Mohammed, and eventually the Mongols came in under Tamerlane and people of his ilk. And finally, the Ottomans came down out of Turkey and out of the northwest there, and they took that area over, and it remained in the hands of the Ottoman Turks until World War I. It wasn't until World War I that they lost their hold on it. The English under General Allenby were in there and conquered that area. And the interesting thing about it is that all of this time, now this is the time of the Gentiles. And it's important to notice this. During all of this time, that area was utterly waste and desolate. It was a waste, howling wilderness. It turned into non-productive sand. It was the kind of place that you looked at it and you said, mercy sakes, who would even want it? That is what the Gentile powers, that hell power there, did to this area. And if you want me to tell you the absolute truth, if the Palestinians get their way and take over that area, that's exactly what it'll go back to again. For any of you who were offended by that, tough. You look at that land now, however, since Israel has taken it over. What is it? It is rich and productive and blossoming like a rose, and it is irrigated, and crops are growing there, and trees are growing there, and flowers and cities are being built. And that's just the beginning, friends. Stick around. If you are fortunate enough, and it won't be a matter of fortune, let me assure you, that was a poor choice of words, but if you are able, as some of us will be, to live to see the millennial kingdom, you will see that place, the desert, blossom like a rose. It will be the garden spot of the earth, and it's headed that direction right now. But under the Gentiles, it was nothing. It was terrible and dreadful. Now, I want to begin reading... last time we saw that the angel, this Zechariah had asked, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem? And he got an answer that was comforting. And the Lord of hosts said, I am jealous for Jerusalem, and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Now, here are the heathen are, of course, the Gentile nations. They are at ease. They are resting and living the good life. But it will not last. It will not last. And I want to just, we're going to, let's just read on here. Let's just read some, and then I'll have some comments to make. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith Yahweh Tzabaoth, the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith Yahweh Tzabaoth, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and Yahweh shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. That is the word of God, and that is the truth. And notice, it does not say Allah will choose Jerusalem. You've heard me say on here before, Allah, the product of the mind of a Gentile who called himself a prophet, is not Yahweh Elohim. These are not the same. Yahweh Elohim is the true and the only true God. And all the gods of the Gentiles are idols. Now, once again, I mean, many of you out there probably offended by that, but you'll just have to be offended. Because the truth is the truth is the truth, and I'm up here to tell the truth and not to keep people happy. Now, you take a look at this. It is Yahweh who will yet comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. And Yahweh is the one that gave promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unconditional promises that will be fulfilled. Now, some of this, what we've just read, was fulfilled in the time that it was spoken, and it was about to be fulfilled. The wall was going to be built in Jerusalem again by Nehemiah. The temple was going to be raised up again by Ezra and Haggai and others of these prophets, and I'm sure Zechariah was involved in that. And building was going to take place in Jerusalem, and a remnant of Israel was going to return. And yet, this, in a sense, I think, looks forward to another time, much of which we are seeing even now, and a more prosperous time. Well, let's go on and look at the four horns now. I began at the first of this broadcast by talking about the four horns. Let's look at them. I lifted up mine eyes, verse 18, and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these, that is the carpenters, are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Now let's just go back and look at these, and we will probably spend the rest of our time in here today looking at the meaning of these four horns. This, you read it, it's the kind of thing that if you're reading Zechariah, you kind of slur over this and say, well, that's interesting, and who can understand it anyway? I don't think this is all that difficult to understand. Horns in Scripture always stand for power of some kind, and typically for Gentile power. Now, it's important for you to get hold of this. Dr. Ironside, H.A. Ironside, always said that the Bible is full of symbols. Of course, it's full of symbols. Those who are against people who teach the way I do, and I mean the preterists and the, you know, that group over there, they like to say, well, Miller, guys like you, you say you, we try to use symbols and symbology, and you're against that, and now you come along and you want to use symbols and say it's okay. Listen, I have never said that it is wrong to look at the symbols in these scriptures. I would be an utter and absolute fool to come on here and say that there aren't symbols used. We have a symbol here. But remember, once again, what Dr. Ironside said. The symbols that are in the Bible are always interpreted by the Bible. If you look at the Bible itself and let the Bible do it, it will interpret these symbols. We are not, this is not some kind of grab bag where we just throw it out there and say, well, make up your own meaning, and who am I to tell you what this means, and this kind of thinking. What I am against with those who are, you know, the preterists and that bunch, is not the use of symbols, but the allegorizing of things that shouldn't be allegorized. There is a difference. When you start taking Israel and say that that means the church, you're way off base. It does not. Israel means Israel. Now let's look at these four horns. And what does this mean? What does the Bible tell us? Once again, horns always mean power, and typically Gentile power. Now look back at the book of Daniel, and just take a look in the early portions of Daniel, chapters 2 and 3, and you will see that there are four world powers that are talked of. Remember when Daniel went in and interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Nebuchadnezzar saw a great statue image raised up. And he said the head was gold, and the breast and arms were silver, and the belly and the loins were brass, and the legs were iron, and the feet iron mixed with clay. Then Daniel said, I can tell you exactly what these mean. These are four great world powers. The first, he said to Nebuchadnezzar, is you, king. The first is Babylon. The second, which is the breast and the two arms, you know, Medo-Persia, the dual kingdom. The third, the belly and thigh and, you know, the loins, Greece. And the fourth is a dreadful kingdom unnamed in the scriptures, which is pretty clearly Rome. Notice these four kingdoms. These are the same four kingdoms, I am persuaded, that are symbolized in these four horns here. What are these? They are the ones that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, says the Lord to Zechariah. And here we have these Gentile powers. Let's talk about them a little bit. The four horns are Babylon, the first horn that scattered. The second, Medo-Persia, which conquered Babylon and had more to do with the scattering and dispersing of Israel. And then finally, Alexander the Great and Greece. Now, these are named by Daniel. He names them. And you might be sitting there saying, well, okay, but these kingdoms, they are long ago, and Why are we still talking about them today? Because these are the scattering Gentile powers. One succeeded the other. And finally, we come to this fourth Gentile power, the horn that represented by the metal of iron, a dreadful beast. And it is this fourth Gentile power that, of course, destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D., tore down the temple for the second time and killed millions of Jews and took the others and sold them into slavery, and they leveled Jerusalem and, you know, after 70 A.D. and more particularly into the early part of the second century, there was nothing in Jerusalem. I mean, they did them in. Now, why do we have them? Why do they keep coming up again and again and again? Well, for those of you who listened perhaps while I was going through the book of Revelation, and you've heard, I know there have been many other great teachers on the book of Revelation. Dr. Ironside was one. Vernon McGee did a good job on this. David Jeremiah has done a super job of teaching Revelation, and you will notice Now, there are those that disagree with this, but I am persuaded they are wrong. The kingdom, this fourth kingdom of iron, Rome, has never really gone away. It's not like the others. The others were overturned, each one, by one that came after it. The Medo-Persians overturned Babylon, didn't they? Took it over and destroyed it. Alexander the Great came along and destroyed the Medo-Persians. Rome came along and destroyed the Greek, the Hellenistic Empire of Alexander the Great. But no power destroyed Rome, did it? Rome fell apart from inside. And, of course, if you look at Daniel's vision once again, what do you have? You have the feet made out of iron and clay with 10 toes on them. And what is suggested here? Some form of democracy, something that is weak, because iron and clay do not mix. And we know from Daniel's vision once again that it is Messiah who will come and ultimately destroy the Roman Empire, and all of these empires will be swept away like dust in the wind, and Messiah's kingdom will fill the earth. Now, that hasn't happened yet. Messiah has yet to reign from Jerusalem. And one of the reasons we are looking at Zechariah and we look at the prophecies concerning Israel is that we cannot, as a church, fail to have an interest in these matters. Before Messiah establishes his kingdom, the church will be taken out of here in an event that we call the rapture. And therefore, as we see these events taking place that lead up to the establishment of the kingdom, we know that the rapture is very close at hand. And we look for it and wait for it and lift our heads and look up, because we know that his coming for us draws nigh. Now, one thing is absolutely certain. The Roman Empire, one way or another, is going to continue, has continued, and will be raised up to some form of power again at the very end. And that is what we are looking at today. I mean, we look around us, and surely and certainly, as I have said, Rome never really went away. It's still with us. Many of the countries that we see in Europe were established by the Romans, and the Roman law and Roman language have influenced, and of course, not to mention the Roman Church in the West. It's still around us, and it is yet, I am persuaded, to come back to the prominence and power that will establish it as a ruler in this world. Now, here we have the four horns. Once again, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, the scatterers of Israel. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.